Centre for Eye Research Australia. Creating the Future in Sight. Annual Review 2025. This recording lasts for approximately 2 hours overall.
Our story. At CIRA, we are creating the future in sight. We are a world-leading medical research institute with 30 years of combining clinical expertise with scientific innovation to accelerate breakthroughs and make the impossible possible. Moving closer every day to a new world where no one ever has to accept vision loss. Our focus on impact through innovation pushes the boundaries of what's possible in eye research and resulting patient care. We never accept blindness, rejecting the status quo when there is an opportunity to prevent vision loss and restore sight. With the support of our donors, we are moving faster every day towards changing the future for all of us. Centre for Eye Research Australia. The picture caption reads, Josephine and Helmut Weigold have been participating in clinical trials in CIRA's Macular Research Unit for many years. Logos: the University of Melbourne, the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital.
Contents. Page 2. Chair and Managing Director's Message. Page 16. Saving Sight After Stroke. Page 24. Defining Year for Macular Research. Page 26. Boost for Cell Reprogramming. Page 28. Tiny Particles Transform Treatments. Page 32. Working Together for IRD Answers. Page 38. New Alliance Driving Vision Research. Page 42. Hand in Hand with Families. Page 48. Lead Researchers. Page 50. Our Board. Page 52. Abridged Financials. Page 54. Supporters and Acknowledgements. The picture caption reads, In Detail, Annie Yan Zhang, Associate Professor Luis Alacon Martinez and Mahmoud Hedara are investigating a recently discovered structure in the retina.
Chair and Managing Director's Message. We are proud to share the stories of CIRA's achievements in 2025 and thank the many supporters and partners who have contributed to this progress. As CIRA gets set to celebrate our 30th anniversary in 2026, the theme of our 2025 annual review is Creating the Future in Sight, showcasing the advances of our research teams over the previous 12 months, and also our relentless focus on the future. Building on the legacy of our founder, Laureate Emeritus Professor Hugh Taylor, AC, everyone at CIRA remains determined to make a difference. We do not accept that vision loss and blindness are inevitable, whether it is the result of aging, genetics, or poor access to eye care. We will not accept the status quo if there is an opportunity to drive our research towards breakthroughs that prevent vision loss and restore sight. 30 years of transformation. As Professor Taylor explains in his generous introduction, eye care today is completely different from 30 years ago, and 30 years from now it will be different again. Technology has transformed vision research, and with it our ability to make what was once considered impossible, possible. You will see many examples of how we are harnessing these cutting-edge technologies in our 2025 annual review, including powerful imaging that allows us to view the eye in unprecedented detail, discover new structures and observe previously unknown interactions between nerves and cells, providing new clues about eye and brain conditions, including glaucoma, stroke, and dementia. Cellular reprogramming technology that is moving one step closer to bringing a potential new treatment for retinitis pigmentosa to a first in-human trial. Advanced genomic sequencing, which has underpinned a critical new discovery into the most high-risk forms of macular degeneration. Gene engineering technologies, including CRISPR editing and advanced vector manufacture, which enables us to develop new gene therapies for incurable inherited retinal diseases, including Usher syndrome and Stargardt's disease. Artificial intelligence to speed up the detection of diabetic eye disease and bring screening technologies to more people in underserved communities. Celebrating collaboration. Sera's focus on partnerships and putting people at the heart of our research has been a key to success over the past 30 years. We know we can have a bigger impact when we work with others and are proud to partner with more than 100 other research organizations worldwide. In 2025, we launched the Vision Science Innovation Alliance, VISIA, which will see us join the University of Melbourne, Cerulea Clinical Trials, Australian College of Optometry, National Vision Research Institute, and the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, to create a new platform to accelerate vision research into real-world outcomes for patients. Community volunteers play a vital role in our research. We are grateful to the thousands of people who have supported us by taking part in studies at CIRA or through Cerulea, our new clinical trials centre. Over three decades, more than 5,800 people have joined Professor Robin Geimer AM's world-leading natural history study for age-related macular degeneration, contributing to understanding AMD and major treatment breakthroughs. More than 650 people with inherited retinal diseases are now part of the VENTURE study, a joint research project with the University of Melbourne, which supports the development of new treatments and connects participants to clinical trials. Meanwhile, our consumer program is going from strength to strength and has more than 50 lived experience volunteers who are helping shape our research program. CIRA also benefits from the deep expertise of our volunteer board directors. Thank you to all of our directors, in particular Wendy Miller and Professor Peter Chung, AO, who finished their terms in 2025 after many years of dedicated service. We also welcome our new directors, Ebru Davidson and Professor Sarath Ranganathan. Power of philanthropy. Philanthropy was critical in the establishment of CIRA in 1996. 30 years later, it remains an essential funding source. Much of our research would simply not happen without the generosity of individual donors, trusts and foundations, and people who leave gifts in their wills to CIRA. We are incredibly grateful for this support, which enables us to accelerate research to protect the future in sight. Signed by Professor Keith Martin, Managing Director, and Duncan Peppercorn, Chair. 30 years of collaborative vision. I vividly remember my first day in 1990 at the Melbourne University Department of Ophthalmology. I sat in a huge office with five staff and thought, what am I going to do? In addition to helping to train ophthalmologists, I wanted to build research capacity, support people through their master's and PhD programs, and secure funding through grants and philanthropy to improve eye care and stop vision loss. After working within the university system for a few years, in 1996 I looked around at all the successful research organisations in Melbourne. I believed that establishing an independent medical research institute focused on vision science would make my goal possible. Thus we created CIRA. Through the University of Melbourne, government support, collaborations with the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, the Lions Club of Victoria, the Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind, and the Association for the Blind, later to unite as Vision Australia, and the contributions of many generous philanthropic supporters, CIRA was able to bring great people together to accelerate research. After only a decade, I was amazed to see CIRA listed among the top four eye research institutes in the world. This remarkable achievement is thanks to everyone who came together in such an extraordinary and wonderful way. CIRA's success has always been built on collaboration between people committed to advancing research. We did extensive outreach to optometry, ophthalmology, and other institutes to bring people together and build collective strength from individual expertise. CIRA Deputy Director Professor Robin Geimer, AM, was one of our early recruits and has been doing terrific work from the beginning. In addition to her many accomplishments in age-related macular degeneration, her work with colleagues including Laureate Professor Colin Masters to detect dementia and Alzheimer's disease through retinal photography was truly forward-thinking. Former CIRA Managing Director Professor Qian Wong also made major contributions, particularly through collaborations investigating signs of cardiovascular disease in eye images, work that predated current approaches by 20 years. Of course, there is the amazing work on glaucoma started by former Managing Director Professor Jonathan Croston and continued and expanded by his successor Professor Keith Martin. Also, the work on corneal transplantation through Dr. Graham Pollock, OAM's, leadership in the Lion's Eye Donation Service, with the laboratory and clinical work of Professor Mark Daniel. Some of CIRA's greatest achievements have been translating research findings into real improvements in healthcare and public awareness. This includes adding sunglasses to SunSmart campaigns, ensuring cigarette packets carry warnings about eye disease, and promoting the importance of regular eye exams for people with diabetes. I hope CIRA continues to be one of the world's leading eye research institutes and provides strong leadership, particularly across the Asia-Pacific region. It has been a World Health Organization collaborating center for its entire existence, and I hope it continues to share its expertise on a global scale. Eye care today is completely different from what it was 30 years ago, and 30 years from now it will be different again. At CIRA today, gene therapy and artificial intelligence research are transforming how we protect people's vision. I hope CIRA continues to stay at the cutting edge, inspiring and supporting young people with new ideas and supporting their research that leads to real, positive changes in people's sight and their lives. Signed by Professor Hugh R. Taylor, AC. The picture caption reads, 30 years, Professor Keith Martin and Professor Hugh R. Taylor, AC.
2025 snapshot. $4.07 million in donations and bequests. $3.34 million in philanthropic grants. 226 research publications. CIRA and Cerulea Clinical Research, 3,950 participants. 146 active trials and clinical research studies. 88 studies involving an intervention or investigational treatment. $3.02 million in government grants. Vision Science Innovation Alliance launched. Publication of CIRA's Consumer Resources Audio and Video Library. NHMRC Investigator Grants for Professor Robin Geimer, AM, and Associate Professor Lisa Zhouting Zhu. Lion's Eye Donation Service. Coordinated donations from 331 donors for 318 corneal transplants and 520 sclera surgeries, with 86 allocated to research and training. $5.5 million in seed funding for Merigen.
Our global partners. We forge collaborations with universities, businesses, and research institutes from across the globe who share our mission of preventing vision loss and restoring sight. Worldwide. Agency for Science, Technology and Research, Singapore. Singapore. Aya Eye Institute, China. Anglia Ruskin University, UK. University of Auckland, New Zealand. University of Birmingham, UK. University of Bonn, Germany. University of Bordeaux, France. Université de Bourgogne, France. University of California, USA. University of Cambridge, UK. University of Cape Town, South Africa. Capital Medical University, China. Cardiff University, UK. Cha University Bundang Medical Center, South Korea. University of Chemistry and Technology, Prague, Czech Republic. Cleveland Clinic, USA. University of Cologne, Germany. Columbia University, USA. University College, London, UK. Complutense University of Madrid, Spain. University of Copenhagen, Denmark. Doheny Eye Institute, USA. Duke University, USA. University of Frankfurt, Germany. Ghent University, Belgium. Guangdong Academy of Medical Sciences, China. Hadassah Medical Center and the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Israel. Harvard University, USA. University of Heidelberg, Germany. Hong Kong Polytechnic University, Hong Kong. The Institut National de la Santé et de la Recherche Médicale, France. Jinan University, China. Johns Hopkins University, USA. Kamuzu University of Health Sciences, Malawi. Karolinska Institutet, Sweden. King's College, London, UK. Kobe University, Japan. KU Leuven, Belgium. University of London, UK. McMaster University, Canada. Medical University of Vienna, Austria. Michigan State University, USA. University of Milan, Italy. University of Montreal, Canada. Moorfields Eye Hospital, UK. University of Murcia, Spain. Nanjing Medical University, China. National Cheng Kung University, Taiwan. National Eye Institute, USA. National Taiwan University, Taiwan. National University of Singapore, Singapore. University of Otago, New Zealand. University of Oxford, UK. University of Pisa, Italy. Queen's University, Belfast, UK. Radboud University Medical Center, the Netherlands. Riken University, Japan. Shanghai Jiao Tong University, China. Singapore National Eye Center, Singapore. Southern Medical University, China, China. Stanford University, USA. Stockholm University, Sweden. Sun Yat-sen University, China. Taipei Medical University, Taiwan. Thomas Jefferson University, USA. University of Toronto, Canada. Tsinghua University, China. UMass Chan Medical School, USA. Umeå University, Sweden. Ulster University, UK. University of Utah, USA. University of Washington, USA. Wayne State University, USA. Weill Cornell, USA. Zhongshan Ophthalmic Center, China. And more. Australia. University of Adelaide, South Australia. Alfred Health, Victoria. Austin Health, Victoria. Australian National University, ACT. Bionics Institute, Victoria. Flinders University, South Australia. The Florey, Victoria. Garvan Institute, New South Wales. Lion's Eye Institute, Western Australia. University of Melbourne, Victoria. Menzies Institute for Medical Research, Tasmania. Monash University, Victoria. University of New South Wales, New South Wales. New South Wales Health, New South Wales. QIMR Berghofer, Queensland. Queensland University of Technology, Queensland. Royal Melbourne Hospital, Victoria. The Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, Victoria. University of Sydney, New South Wales. University of Tasmania, Tasmania. Weihai, Victoria. University of Western Australia, Western Australia. University of Wollongong, Australia, New South Wales. And more.
Our research pipeline. The Centre for Eye Research Australia has a unique combination of skills, infrastructure and resources to take great ideas from the laboratory through to clinical trials. We do this alongside the right industry partners. Research programs at CIRA are at every step of this journey. Early discovery. Researchers discover more about diseases and the body to find new ways to spot and treat conditions. Glaucoma research, understanding tunneling nanotubes in early glaucoma. Design and proof of concept. Researchers have a great idea for a device or treatment and take the earliest steps to making it a reality. Delivery device. Electrical stimulation device for enhancing retinal cell transduction. Research prototyping and validation. Researchers develop the earliest working version of the device and validate a drug's effectiveness. One right eye. Revolutionizing ophthalmology patient education. Adara Bio. RNA editing for inherited retinal diseases. OcuSwitch. Eye drop activated gene therapy. Pilot trials and lead discovery. After refining their work, researchers test the earliest form of their device or drug in models. Oculomics, AI-powered screening tool using retinal imaging. Enlighten imaging, retinal hyperspectral imaging to detect eye, brain and other diseases. Hygelix, biodegradable hydrogel to aid corneal surgeries. Device prototype and preclinical development. Rigorous development of the device or treatment makes sure it is safe, effective, and the best it can be. Mirogen, reprogramming Müller glial cells to regenerate photoreceptors. Clinical trials and development. After meeting the highest standards for safety and effectiveness, new treatments and devices are tested in clinical trials. Retinal thermofusion, a new method of retinal detachment repair. Launch. New treatments are launched to make healthcare better. Oculo, sold to Revenio in 2021. Teleophthalmology and clinical communications platform. Taking flight. Quote from Lani Din. I'm blind, but I wish I could fly. That is my dream. Lani Din was diagnosed with glaucoma in her early 30s, just as her first son had turned 2. My sight faded quietly, she says. Everything looked cloudy, like a thin curtain slowly being pulled across my world. I had to grieve the life I once knew while learning to rebuild anew, a woman rediscovering my strength. It revealed a resilience Lani didn't know she had. As well as continuing her career in tourism and advocating through social media, she has become competitive in low vision tennis, basketball and golf, and is now working towards a skydiving license. I'm blind, but I wish I could fly. That is my dream. She says, I live with glaucoma, but I refuse to live small. Lani became a member of CIRA's consumer program to seek a deeper understanding of research. Her involvement has made her feel less alone. Research represents hope, not just for me, but for others who may face this diagnosis in the future. The picture caption reads, "Big Dreams." Lani Din is passionate about adventure, research, and her children, Henry and Ethan.
Primed for success. Years of collaboration with CIRA have led Professor Pete Williams to move to Melbourne to continue his pioneering research. Current treatments for glaucoma focus on reducing elevated pressure placed on retinal ganglion cells, the cells in the eye that die off as the disease progresses. However, no current treatment directly supports the survival of these cells. It's a challenge that Professor Pete Williams, founder of CIRA's new Neuroprotection and Repair Unit, is working to change. It's very much like how healthy eating and exercise will reduce a person's risk of developing many diseases, but will not cure the disease directly, Professor Williams explains. Using eye drops or surgery to reduce pressure in the eye reduces the risk of cells in the eye dying, but this alone isn't enough to fully prevent their loss. Professor Williams' research aims to transform the way glaucoma is managed and continues his already long-standing close collaboration with CIRA. Power boost. Professor Williams' work focuses on finding better ways to help retinal cells stay alive by supplying them with the energy they need to function. In glaucoma, this led him to nicotinamide, a form of vitamin B3 that is crucial to the proper function of retinal ganglion cells. Together with colleague Dr. Flora Hugh, he has spent several years investigating whether nicotinamide provided alongside current glaucoma treatments can support nerve cell function in the eye. This extra energy that nicotinamide provides aims to give cells a major boost and helps keep them alive alongside current glaucoma treatments to protect people's vision for longer. Early research, including a 2020 study showing significant improvement in the visual function of glaucoma patients, has now progressed to a longer-term clinical trial at CIRA. If successful, it could represent a major shift in how the condition is treated. Beyond nicotinamide, Professor Williams's long-term goals include developing prescription medications for glaucoma, and eventually gene therapies that can prevent vision loss at all stages of the disease. His work may also have applications in other conditions where brain and nerve cells die, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and motor neuron disease. Close ties. In 2025, Professor Williams announced he would relocate to CIRA from Karolinska Institutet to establish the Neuroprotection and Repair Research Unit and take his research to the next stage. He will continue studying the root causes of glaucoma and exploring new treatments that support the survival of retinal cells to protect vision. Professor Williams is enthusiastic about what lies ahead. "I think we're very close to having realistic drug therapies for glaucoma that don't just aim to lower pressure in the eye," he says. "I also believe we are close to testing gene therapies that can protect the retina and optic nerve long-term from a single injection. We're also finding new ways to do clinical trials much more quickly. I think ophthalmology research is going to really jump into the information age where things can go so much faster." Professor Williams has collaborated with CIRA researchers throughout his international career and is excited to continue this under the same roof. "This is an excellent place to work closely alongside a wide array of researchers, all experts in their respective fields, and accelerate each other's work towards having an impact on the lives of people at risk of losing their vision," Professor Williams says. "It's a fantastic environment where I can expedite findings from the bench to the clinic all in one house, the cherry on top being that I'm in a warm, sunny, friendly city. Professor Williams's work is supported by the CIRA Foundation. The picture caption reads, Powering Cells. Professor Pete Williams is finding ways to support cells to beat glaucoma. Saving sight after stroke. CIRA scientists are investigating how to reverse permanent vision loss caused by stroke. Their work may, for the first time, offer a pathway to saving the sight of stroke survivors. PhD student Jesse Gardner-Russell and his supervisor, Associate Professor Luis Alacon-Martinez, in the Visual Neurovascular Unit, are investigating the role blood flow through microscopic structures in the eye plays in stroke. The tiny tubes, known as interpericyte tunneling nanotubes, connect specialized cells in the eye. They carry messages and proteins, plus share information which helps ensure that the neurons of the retina get enough energy to sustain vision. When a stroke interrupts blood supply to the eye, these nanotubes rupture. Gardner-Russell's research aims to find out how to stop this and if they can be regrown. Restoring blood flow. Using laser scanning microscopy to image the living retinas of mice, Gardner-Russell demonstrated the impact changing blood flow to how these tubes function. They found that if blood flow was restored after a 60-minute stroke, the nanotubes were able to regrow after 1 week. More severe damage caused by transient stroke was also able to be prevented. But permanent loss of blood flow was catastrophic and led to near total elimination of the nanotubes in the retina. How quickly blood flow returns is the critical factor, says Gardner-Russell. This is where our research intersects with the way stroke is managed. Retinal energy. The retina is the most energy-consuming tissue in the human body relative to its size. It must continuously convert light into electrical signals, pass them through complex neuronal circuits, and transmit the resulting information along the optic nerve to the brain. A huge amount of energy is required to constantly make this happen, but energy is a finite resource in our body, Gardner-Russell says. Mammals have developed an important mechanism, almost like an electricity grid. The body reallocates energy to where it's needed in real time. When you flash a light, the retina needs more blood, and nanotubes are what helps coordinate that response. After a stroke, and these nanotubes rupture, that system is lost. Even though there's still blood flowing, it's no longer getting dynamically allocated, so over time this can contribute to poor visual outcomes because the neurons are slowly starving. We hope this research can provide a way to help fix that mechanism after a stroke and potentially promote better visual recovery. This is part of a broader mission within the Visual Neurovascular Research Lab, which is investigating how blood is distributed across the retina and what happens when that distribution breaks down. The work spans conditions including glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, age-related macular degeneration, and ischemic retinopathy, conditions that together affect over 800,000 Australians and 150 million people worldwide. The potential applications of nanotube research reaches beyond the eye and has recently been identified in neurons in the brain as well. We want to understand what makes them grow, what makes them break, and how many you might need, Gardner-Russell says. Initially, we thought more would always be better, but we now think it's about having them in the right places, not just having more. Gardner-Russell is committed to finding solutions, particularly after learning a former colleague had suffered a stroke. Messages from stroke survivors and their families, many reaching out after hearing him speak about his research on the ABC, added further weight. It hit home that there are people out there living this and needing this research, he says. It gives me extra motivation because it feels I'm contributing to something bigger. The picture caption reads, Tunneling Deeper. Associate Professor Luis Alacon-Martinez and PhD student Jesse Gardner-Russell are working to preserve vision after a stroke.
Lived experience meets innovation. Collaboration between researchers and consumers is aiming to transform diabetes screening nationwide. Stephanie Langby has a common early-stage form of diabetic eye disease and is adamant that more needs to be done to bridge the access gap for people living in remote communities. We know that vision loss from diabetes is preventable with early detection and timely management. However, screening rates for the disease remain low, she says. As a member of CIRA's consumer program, she is working alongside Associate Professor Lisa Zhou-Ting-Zhu, CIRA's Head of Ophthalmic Epidemiology, on the development of an artificial intelligence, AI-powered camera, that aims to predict the onset of diabetes and cardiovascular disease. With Dr. Wenyi Hu, Associate Professor Zhu, is currently working towards implementing this innovative technology into GP and other primary care clinics, where it could reduce the barriers to accessing care. Stephanie has generously served on our advisory board for this project, providing invaluable consumer-informed insights and is helping shape the long-term vision of the program, says Associate Professor Zhu. The beauty of incorporating a consumer voice like Stephanie's in a grant application is that it grounds the project in lived experience. It allows us to reframe the research around genuine unmet needs and real-world challenges, ensuring the proposal is not only scientifically rigorous, but also meaningful and relevant to those it aims to serve. Rural access. Stephanie hopes the technology will reduce the burden of diabetes across the country. Early identification of this condition could make a huge difference to outcomes for many people. I'm really committed to making this technology accessible for people in rural and underserved communities, as well as for those people that find the current testing cost a burden, says Stephanie. So far, Stephanie has advised CIRA on the remote use of technology where access to the internet could be difficult and supported the writing of a grant submission. The picture caption reads, "Consumer View." From her Queensland home, Stephanie is making a valuable contribution to CIRA research.
Natural wonders. Several long-term research participants, Helmut and Josephine Weigold, Deirdre Casey and Rodney Bailey, have played crucial roles in advancing understanding of how age-related macular degeneration, AMD, progresses. Together, they have contributed a combined 38 years with the Macular Research Unit, providing decades of data that have helped drive groundbreaking discoveries to improve outcomes for people with AMD. Alongside the 5,800 participants who have taken part in natural history studies of the condition at CIRA since 1997, their contributions have transformed how AMD is understood and treated. This has included treatments for the wet form of AMD, genetic links associated with the disease, and a greater understanding of risk factors associated with developing the disease. Helmut and Josephine now think of the team at CIRA as family after being involved in AMD research since 2014. After my wife Josephine was told she could have AMD by our optometrist, we were inspired to contact the team at CIRA, says Helmut. Helmut says that they have been involved in various clinical trials, him initially as part of control groups and Josephine as part of treatment groups. For Josephine, the team at CIRA picked up the very beginnings of bleeding in her retina, which indicates wet AMD. This has now progressed to where she can no longer drive, which is a loss of freedom for her, says Helmut. CIRA has contributed to changing the future for people diagnosed with wet AMD. The first industry-sponsored clinical trial conducted in the Macular Research Unit tested a first drug treatment for the condition. After that initial study, others followed that led to the eventual approval of a drug that was transformative for patients who previously had no effective treatment options. But for both Helmut and Josephine, being involved in AMD research is about helping others. We know that this research is important to help others. We have lost count of how many times we've participated, but we are always glad we do, and always feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. Deputy Director and Head of Macular Research, Professor Robin Geimer, AM, says people like Helmut and Josephine make better treatments possible. The time, generosity, and willingness to participate in research is what makes it possible for us to study AMD, how it progresses, and test new treatments, Professor Geimer says. The many people who have participated in research, particularly those who have come back year after year, have helped transform how the condition is managed for thousands all over the world. Benefits for all. Deirdre Casey, who also has AMD, feels the same as Helmut after being involved in serious research for close to 20 years. My grandmother was blind, and my mother had sight issues. When my sister was diagnosed with wet AMD in 2005, I asked an ophthalmologist friend who I should see, and he said Robin Geimer. At that stage, not even a professor, says Deirdre. Early on, Robin asked if I would be interested in joining a clinical trial. Deirdre has been involved with AMD research since then, and her late husband was also involved. He was a scientist, and they both felt that supporting research was very important. From research comes improvement and benefits for all. The technology used to monitor the condition has contributed to research. OCT imaging provides a detailed view of the retina, enabling researchers to track disease progression. Over the last 30 years, these devices have gone from a groundbreaking invention, offering an unprecedented view of the eye, to a standard tool of optometry, ophthalmology, and research. The device is fundamental to AMD research at CIRA. Deirdre continues to be excited to be involved in AMD research after all these years. It's so crucial, necessary, and interesting, she says. Rodney has been involved in AMD research for 6 years. After being diagnosed, his doctor suggested he might like to get involved in research trials. I decided to get involved, not for treatment, but to help others, says Rodney. What I love about being involved is the sense of community, coming in to see everyone. They always ask, "How's your little granddaughter?" I remember when I started getting involved that we were rejoicing with now senior trial coordinator Emily Caruso that I was going to have a grandchild. And then Emily excitedly said to us, "I'm pregnant too." All of a sudden we were hugging each other, he says. In 2025, the earliest treatments for the dry form of late-stage AMD were approved in Australia. Another significant milestone in improving outcomes for people with vision loss and continuing the journey towards life-changing outcomes for people diagnosed with the condition. Rodney has now retired after 50 years of working in retail, and has also retired from marathon running, but continues to run for mental health and fitness. My AMD has progressed in the last 6 months, so when I go for a run, I need to remember where the tree roots are to not fall over. But this research is much bigger than me. It's about helping someone down the track who needs it. The picture captions read, Legacy of Impact, Josephine Weigold, Deirdre Casey, Rodney Bailey, Senior Trial Coordinator Emily Caruso, and Helmut Weigold. And Partners in Sight, Senior Trial Coordinator Emily Caruso and Rodney Bailey.
Defining year for macular research. Important discoveries, landmark treatment approvals, and new funding have made the past year one of the most significant yet for age-related macular degeneration research. The Global Synergy High-Risk Age-Related Macular Degeneration, AMD, study, led by CIRA's Head of Macular Research, Professor Robin Geimer, AM, has pinpointed the specific genetic changes that increase the risk of severe, sight-threatening forms of AMD. Results from the 5-year project with collaborators from WEHI and the University of Melbourne are providing promising new targets for treatments for the most severe forms of macular degeneration, including geographic atrophy. The research revealed specific genetic factors linked to the presence of reticular pseudodrusen, deposits which drive vision loss and are found on the retina of up to 60% of people with advanced AMD. Published in the journal Nature Communications, their findings pinpointed a key difference in genetic changes that are associated with additional deposits of reticular pseudodrusen in a type of AMD, finding a strong link with genetic variations on chromosome 10, but no link to other well-known AMD gene changes on chromosome 1. Professor Geimer said the results highlight that AMD is not a single disease, but a group of related conditions potentially requiring tailored treatment approaches. Reticular pseudodrusen deposits, visible in eye scans, have been linked to worse visual function and poorer treatment outcomes, she says. Our research has now identified which of the genetic changes appear to be driving this more serious form of AMD. This discovery provides a crucial lead for developing new drugs that target these changes, potentially preventing vision loss before it begins. The research collaboration, which brought together researchers and clinicians from a wide array of disciplines, coordinating data from participants all over the world, was funded by a National Health and Medical Research Council, NHMRC, Synergy grant. Major steps. The year also marked a turning point for patients with geographic atrophy, the dry form of late AMD, after Australia's Therapeutic Goods Administration approved the first, then the second treatment for the condition. Professor Geimer led the Centre for Eye Research Australia's site of the International Clinical Trial into the first new drug and was on the Global Advisory Committee for the pharmaceutical company Apellis. The Phase 3 Oaks and Derby studies demonstrated that regular eye injections with pegcetacoplan slowed down the growth of lesions in which the retina's light-sensing photoreceptor cells die. The approval is a game-changer for the treatment of geographic atrophy and brings hope to tens of thousands of Australians who have been waiting for a treatment, Professor Geimer says. Professor Geimer says the approval is a positive first step, with scientists now hoping to continue research which aims to find ways of preventing damage before it occurs. In 2025, Professor Geimer was also awarded a 5-year investigator grant by the NHMRC, allowing her to further Sierra's research into the early detection and treatment of AMD. With this NHMRC investment, Professor Geimer aims to advance research focused on detecting and treating AMD in its earliest stages. This remains our goal, to stop AMD before it threatens sight. To do this, we need to understand exactly what causes it and move to find new targets for future treatments. The picture caption reads, Synergy Team, Associate Professor Zichao Wu, Professor Elise Pibe, AM, Professor Robin Geimer, AM, Professor Erica Fletcher, Professor Melanie Barlow, AM, Dr. Brendan Ansell, and Associate Professor Carla Abbott.
Boost for cell reprogramming. Mirogen, a biotech spin-out from Sierra, has received new investment to bring a new treatment for retinitis pigmentosa closer to clinical trial. The $4.5 million seed funding from a group of investors that includes the University of Melbourne's Genesis Pre-Seed Fund, Tin Alley Ventures, and Brandon Capital brings Mirogen's total investment up to $7 million. Established in 2022 after participating in the federally funded Curator Incubator, Mirogen is developing a breakthrough cell reprogramming therapy designed to regenerate damaged photoreceptors in the retina. The company was incubated at CIRA by Professor Raymond Wong, head of cellular reprogramming, and is using engineered viruses to activate the eye's own stem cells. Cellular reprogramming is a technology which allows you to control genes to determine how cells behave, Professor Wong says. Mirogen's research is using cutting-edge techniques to identify the optimum set of factors to ask one cell type in the eye to become another. The approach is aiming to unlock the regenerative power of the retina's stem cells to reverse and prevent damage to the light-sensing photoreceptors in the eye. The initial target for the new therapy will be the inherited retinal disease, retinitis pigmentosa, which affects more than 1.5 million people worldwide. However, it could also benefit up to 190 million people living with other diseases caused by damage to photoreceptors, such as age-related macular degeneration and Stargardt's disease. Greater impact. CIRA's managing director, Professor Keith Martin, who is also a co-founder of Mirogen, says the latest investment will help move the treatment towards the clinic. The latest funding round demonstrates the critical role of seed investors in supporting innovation in medical research and strengthening partnerships between industry and academic researchers. He says partnering with industry was a key part of CIRA's strategy to increase the impact of its research through innovation. We want to help our scientists move their research from the lab to the clinic where it can make a real difference for people with eye disease. The picture caption reads, Reprogramming Cells. Dr. Daniel Urrutia Cabrera, Stephanie Chu, Pierre Wagstrom, Professor Raymond Wong, Stacy Kat Bin Nui, Genevieve Huppert, Zach Wang, and Jane Wu.
Tiny particles transform treatments. An innovative project is exploring whether exosomes, tiny particles made by our own cells, could become powerful vehicles for delivering future treatments for macular diseases. Getting treatments to the light-sensing retina is one of the biggest challenges in eye research. For conditions such as macular telangiectasia, MacTel, type 2, and Stargardt's disease, this challenge is ever greater. Treatments must reach specific cells in the macula, the central region responsible for detailed vision, with high precision. At CIRA, Dr. Sushma Anand is investigating whether the body's own communication systems can be harnessed to overcome this challenge. Her work focuses on exosomes as a natural and adaptable delivery system capable of carrying a wide range of treatments directly to affected cells in the retina. Exosomes are natural, produced by every one of our cells throughout our body, including in our eyes, she says. Although extremely small, exosomes can carry proteins, genetic material, and other molecules from one cell to another. Dr. Anand describes exosomes as a tiny delivery truck capable of transporting everything from small letters to large packages. Exosomes already play a key role in normal cell-to-cell communication and are therefore well tolerated by the body. In the laboratory, the team can also modify them to interact with specific cell types in the eye, making them a promising natural delivery system for treatments targeting the retina. Destination macula. Dr. Anand's research focuses on MacTel type 2 and Stargardt's disease, two macular conditions for which there are currently no approved treatments. MacTel type 2 is a rare, progressive macular disease that usually develops in mid to later adulthood and affects both eyes. It involves changes to Müller cells in the macula and defective delivery of energy to retinal cells, leading to gradual damage of light-sensing retinal cells and loss of central vision over time. Stargardt's disease is an inherited retinal disease that causes a gradual loss of central vision, often beginning in childhood or young adulthood. It is caused by changes in genes that affect how retinal cells function, most commonly the ABCA4 gene, leading to progressive damage of the macula. For people with MacTel, the retina has low levels of the amino acid serine, which is important for normal retinal cell function. In Stargardt's disease, vision loss is usually caused by genetic changes that can be difficult to address using some existing treatment approaches. A single natural delivery system could therefore carry very different types of treatments, from small molecules such as serine to larger genetic material. Dr. Anand and her team have shown that exosomes can be prepared, produced, and engineered in the laboratory to carry potential treatments. We're still at an early stage, but each step brings us closer to understanding how treatments might one day be delivered more effectively to the retina, Dr. Anand says. Although Dr. Anand's research is focused on MacTel and Stargardt's disease, she says its potential application may extend beyond these conditions. As we learn more, this approach could eventually inform the development of treatments for other retinal diseases. This work is supported by funding from the Macular Disease Foundation Australia. The picture caption reads, "Tiny Messengers. Dr. Sushma Anand is developing better ways to deliver treatments to the eye." Gift of research. When most people think about organ and tissue donation, they picture one person receiving a generous gift that saves or transforms their life. But at CIRA, an extraordinary program is redefining what it means to give, and the ripple effects are being felt by researchers and patients around the world. The Lions Eye Donation Service, LEDS, has operated at CIRA for decades. Cornea donation for transplant remains its primary purpose, but its tissue banking program is an increasingly important option for donors and provides samples for eye researchers. Dr. Heather Matchin heads LEDS, manages the biobank, and works on her own research projects in tissue banking and nurse workforce development. The biobank, established in 2013 and upgraded in 2021, provides high-quality human samples from consented donors to ethics-approved researchers. If you donate your cornea to transplant, you help one person, which of course is amazing, Dr. Matchin says. If you donate your eyes to research, you could help hundreds, thousands, or even millions of people in the future. Transformative donations. Over the past year, the program has tightened its systems, built closer ties with researchers, and expanded the reach of donated tissue across Australia and internationally. LEDS recovers whole eyes, corneas, and other eye tissue from donors at end of life, often within hours of death, to preserve cellular integrity. The tissue goes into the biobank, but often leaves within hours or days. Researchers frequently need fresh tissue before cells deteriorate, so many of our samples are quickly allocated to approved projects, Dr. Matchin says. A single eye donation can serve multiple purposes. The cornea might go to a corneal researcher, while the remainder goes to a retinal specialist. That same cornea, once a project concludes, may be reallocated to another study entirely, maximizing the impact of every gift. We also store tissue from people with rare eye conditions for future research. Without the biobank, many research projects at CIRA and beyond simply wouldn't exist. And without human tissue, that research will never reach real people. Behind the process is a team of donor coordinators who match tissue donations with projects. A researcher might need samples from 10 eyes, but 5 from donors with no eye disease and 5 from donors who had a particular condition. And then there may be age requirements as well, Dr. Matchin says. It can be quite complicated, so we encourage researchers to be as broad as possible in their criteria. The team stays in touch with researchers, checking if they are still using the tissue and if it can be passed on to another project. Using donated tissue is also reducing reliance on animal models, something the sector is actively working towards. The Biobank team is focused on improving data tracking and building a greater community awareness that research donation is a powerful way to help others. The service is also exploring how to give donors and their families more visibility over where their gift travels and what it achieves. They recognize that at the end of life, helping someone else is one of the most meaningful things you can do, Dr. Matchin says. Many of our donors have lived with eye disease themselves or loved someone who did. Others just want to contribute to something bigger than themselves. We are eternally grateful for the contributions donors and their families make. The picture caption reads, Care Custodians, Terry Cooper, Dr. Heather Matchin, and Jenna Vartiainen operate the LEDS Biobank.
Finding answers together. Understanding the wide variety of inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, requires hundreds of people working closely together. Beyond researchers themselves, whose varied expertise spans from geneticists in the lab to clinicians, many people diagnosed with these rare conditions contribute to both discovering the genes that cause these conditions and learn how they progress. The Venture Study, a partnership between CIRA and the University of Melbourne, has now surpassed 700 people, with 50 unique genes included in the registry. These people, who have rare conditions like retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, and Stargardt's disease, and their family members, who may be genetic carriers, are together improving how IRDs are understood. This is helping others with these conditions receive an accurate diagnosis and making it possible for new treatments to be trialled earlier. CIRA Deputy Director Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, who leads the project alongside Head of Retinal Gene Therapy Research, Dr. Tom Edwards, says one of the most exciting things is how it has enabled an ecosystem of researchers to grow around the participants. Venture now has a genetic arm called GenoVision, which involves geneticists, molecular biologists, variant curators, bioinformaticians, and pathology collectors, Professor Ayton says. We work closely on projects for people with dual deaf blindness, such as Usher syndrome, and so have strong collaborations with other health professions like audiology, speech pathology, neurology, and physiotherapy. The strength of a multidisciplinary team is that everyone brings a different perspective to a question, says Professor Ayton. For example, the work led by Dr. C.C. Britton-Jones to find new IRD genes includes our clinical team, lab scientists, computer scientists, and data analysts, all contributing their special skills and views to the project. Understanding progress. Jonah Marcantelli likes sport, movies, and video games. An ideal weekend for him is relaxing on the couch. I like Dune a whole lot. I can't wait for the third one, he says. He was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa in 2024, a year after the family moved to Australia from the US, although the diagnosis wasn't completely unexpected. Jonah's grandfather and great-uncle both have retinitis pigmentosa and are legally blind, but the condition wasn't initially apparent among the women in the family. We were initially told there was a 50-50 chance of passing the condition onto our children, and we just went with the flow until my sister, who is 2 years younger than me, was diagnosed. That changed the trajectory of her life. Mindy, Jonah's mum, says. Mindy has three other sisters who are confirmed carriers, one with severe symptoms and another who has a diagnosed son. When her siblings were diagnosed, Mindy says there was little support available. We felt powerless back then. Nobody was sitting us down and asking what we're going to do, how we're going to live our lives and make decisions about starting a family. Today, the opportunities and information available are very different. Under the Venture study, Jonah is a part of research monitoring the progression of his condition and is eagerly awaiting the chance to participate in a clinical trial should a treatment become available. Mindy is also in a carrier study led by Dr. Sena Gocek, which is working to understand the perspectives of people who carry the genes associated with IRDs to improve how they receive counselling and support. The family have seen how diagnosis and monitoring of the condition has changed and are looking forward to more opportunities on the horizon. Jonah's sister Adelaide has been inspired by the research and doing work experience with Professor Ayton. She is now considering her own career in research. Having the work experience just really opened up my eyes, literally, to see what's really going on in my brother's and all these other people's eyes, Adelaide says. Seeing how these people are just trying to help minimize the disease, and after having a feel for it, I want to see how I can help. Research perspective. Ivan Volkov has a biomedical engineering degree and works as a researcher at an organization researching workplace mental health. I like research for the sake of research. It's interesting and fun to go investigate and explore. He was only recently diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. I always had problems with my eyesight, but last year I found I really didn't have any peripheral vision, he says. He was referred to ophthalmology from his optometrist. With no known family history of the condition, it was genetic testing that confirmed the diagnosis. I now know what is happening and what to expect later in life, Ivan says. After being added to the Venture Registry, he has also participated in genetic research projects. It's all been so fast, super quick, and easy, and a lot of explanation along the way to what it all means. I did some clinical trials for my master's project, and it's like, wow, I'm the guinea pig now. He says that should a trial for his particular form of retinitis pigmentosa come up, he would take it right away. As a participant in the Venture study, I would be notified if there was a trial. And why not? It couldn't hurt. The picture captions read, Venture Team, Leah Lim, Livia Carvalho, Rebecca James, CC Britton Jones, Jay Dennis, Lauren Ayton, Maria Kolick, Ivan Volkov, Parker Truong, Elise Cicchello, Jonah Marcantelli, Mindy Marcantelli, Lachlan Knight, Adelaide Marcantelli, Sena Gocek, Gayatri Wiraratne, Barge Grewal, and Sujani Thrimawitana. And looking for answers, Ivan Volkov is on the Venture Registry. Community powers genetic research. A groundswell of support for inherited retinal disease research has helped establish a new research program led by Dr. Jiang Hui Sloan Wang. A record-breaking Sera Giving Day and the contributions of donors have brought unique cutting-edge research back to Australia. Dr. Jiang Hui Sloan Wang, who completed his University of Melbourne PhD at Sera, has returned to Australia from the United States, where he worked as a senior research fellow at the Gene Therapy Centre, University of Massachusetts, Chan, UMass Chan Medical School, for 3 years. Dr. Wang now leads Sera's new Ocular Genetic Therapeutics research program, aiming to develop new treatments to improve the delivery and efficiency of potential gene therapies for inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, including retinitis pigmentosa, Stargardt's disease, and Usher syndrome. I'm honored to be returning to Sera, where my career as a vision scientist began, says Dr. Wang. Welcome back. IRDs are conditions caused by a faulty gene that causes cells to not work properly, leading to vision loss. IRDs that are caused by faults in large genes, like Usher syndrome, were once considered untreatable, but gene therapies that can correct these genes to prevent vision loss are beginning to emerge. These therapies often require delicate yet invasive injections of harmless viral vectors, known as adeno-associated viruses, AAVs, to be delivered beneath the retina carrying the corrected gene. However, there is a limit to how much AAVs can carry. Dr. Wang's revolutionary approach uses a less invasive injection to deliver large genes into the eye. By splitting a large gene, reassembling it inside the retina, and delivering it via a specially engineered AAV vector that outperforms those currently used, his aim is to reverse the effects of retinal disease. Record-breaking support. An early focus for Dr. Wang this year is research into the development of dual vectors to deliver potential gene therapies to treat blindness in Usher syndrome 1B, an IRD that is characterized by the combination of hearing loss and vision loss. It's a condition that both Olivia DeParis and Lewis Shepherd have, two young people who both shared their stories and passion for research for CIRA's annual Giving Day, as advocates of Dr. Wang's work. Thanks to the generosity of an anonymous donor who matched donations on World Sight Day, over $200,000 was raised on the day to support Dr. Wang's work. Dr. Wang's unique experience will make CIRA's Genetic Engineering Laboratory one of only a handful worldwide with expertise in developing these next generation of viral vectors. It is an integral part of efforts across CIRA to develop treatments for more IRDs. Merging speed, precision, and real-world relevance, we will not just advance science, it will deliver tangible next-generation solutions, turning today's lab innovations into tomorrow's sight-saving treatments, says Dr. Wang. Dr. Wang's work is supported by Australian Vision Research, Retina Australia, the Macular Disease Foundation of Australia, and the DHB Foundation. The picture captions read, Community Support. Dr. Jiang Hui Sloan Wang is returning to CIRA to continue his gene therapy research. And Winning the Fight. Olivia DeParis' advocacy for research rallied supporters.
New Alliance Driving Vision Research. The Vision Science Innovation Alliance is bringing together vision research, clinical care, and clinical trials within Melbourne's biomedical precinct to support the discovery and implementation of new treatments. In vision research, the journey from laboratory discovery to patient care can be long and complex. The Vision Science Innovation Alliance, VISIA, was established to address this challenge by supporting vision science from idea to impact. Working across four focus areas, collaborative research, translation and scale-up of new technologies, partnerships with government and community leaders to support policy and health equity, and talent and training, the Alliance connects expertise across the research and care pipeline. VISIA links organisations with complementary strengths to reduce fragmentation, coordinate work, and help research progress into clinical testing and patient care. The Alliance draws on vision science expertise within Melbourne's biomedical precinct, spanning discovery research, clinical insight, trials infrastructure, training and care. These partners include CIRA, Cerulea Clinical Trials, the University of Melbourne, the Australian College of Optometry, National Vision Research Institute, and affiliate partner, the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital. More than 13 million Australians live with one or more chronic eye conditions, and over 500,000 experience vision impairment or blindness. While most vision loss is preventable or treatable, many people remain undiagnosed or without access to appropriate care. VISIA works to remove barriers between research, clinical practice, and trials by supporting coordination across research, trials, and care. Professor Keith Martin, Managing Director of CIRA and Head of the University of Melbourne Department of Ophthalmology, chairs the Alliance's steering committee. Vision research doesn't move forward in a single step, Professor Martin says. We have a concentration of vision science expertise within the biomedical precinct, covering discovery research, clinical care and trials. Bringing that capability together through the Alliance makes it easier to move research into real-world application. The Alliance was launched in October 2025 at CIRA's Vision Expo by the Honourable Danny Pearson, MP, former Victorian Minister for Economic Growth and Jobs. The event brought together researchers, clinicians, and people with vision loss. "This alliance puts patients at the heart of everything we do," says Professor Lauren Aiton AM, CIRA Deputy Director and Associate Dean of Innovation and Enterprise at the University of Melbourne's Faculty of Medicine, Dentistry and Health Sciences. "By working across research and clinical care and informed by living experience, we can focus on challenges that matter most." The picture caption reads, "Duncan Peppercorn, Board Chair, Centre for Eye Research Australia. Pete Hayden, CEO, Australian College of Optometry. Emily Shepherd, CEO, Usher Kids Australia. Danny Pearson, then Victorian Minister for Economic Growth and Jobs. Lewis Shepherd, and Mike McGuckin, Acting Dean, Faculty of Medicine, Dentistry and Health Sciences. Keith Martin, Managing Director, Centre for Eye Research Australia. Lauren Aiton, Associate Dean, Innovation and Enterprise, Faculty of Medicine, Dentistry and Health Sciences. Adele Hosseini, former Interim CEO, Cerulea Clinical Trials. And Melanie Eagle, Board Chair, the Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital."
Seeing progress. Benny Zhu's vision loss came on suddenly, at the worst possible time. "I was driving on the road, and suddenly I couldn't see," he says. "I had a very bad headache, and I was very upset." After heading straight to hospital, Benny was diagnosed with vision loss associated with his diabetes and quickly put on a course of injections. "I was told that they do testing of treatments at Cerulea Clinical Trials and asked if I would like to contribute," he says. "I was happy to do that." Since then, he's been coming into Cerulea at regular intervals as part of a clinical trial. A fully owned, not-for-profit subsidiary of CIRA, Cerulea continues to grow its footprint as a hub for ophthalmic clinical trials in Melbourne. Study coordinator at Cerulea Clinical Trials, Lin Lin, says people like Benny who participate in research make an invaluable contribution. "Participants help researchers better understand the condition and how different patients respond to treatment," says Lin. "Their involvement allows new therapies to be tested for safety and effectiveness, helping improve and develop better treatments for future patients." Benny recommends that more people should participate in research. "Everyone is very friendly and nice. It makes me happy to be a part of," he says. "If someone could be in a trial, I think they would be happy if they tried it." The picture caption reads, "Better treatments. Trial participant Benny Zhu would recommend more people take part in research."
Hand in hand with families. When vision loss happens suddenly, as it does with Leber hereditary optic neuropathy, LHON, the impact can be profound. This rare mitochondrial genetic condition that affects the optic nerve causes rapid, severe central vision loss, often in early adulthood. It leads to life-changing impacts on daily living, emotional well-being and independence. Because LHON is inherited through the mother's line and affects each carrier differently, families often face uncertainty about who may be impacted and when. "There is a ripple effect with LHON," says Dr. Sandra Staffieri, AO, research fellow from the Clinical Genetics Unit at CIRA. "It not only impacts the person who experiences the sudden vision loss, but also the people around them, their partner, their mother, who feels guilty they have passed the condition on, and their siblings who await potentially the same fate. CIRA's Dr. Isabel Lopez-Sanchez, head of mitochondrial biology and disease, says this unpredictability is at the heart of the LHON experience. The uncertainty of having the genetic risk creates great anxieties for families, but it also highlights why the researcher-family relationship is so crucial, as we need initial detailed information and then follow-up data. In Australia, this relationship is particularly strong. The National LHON research team, including CIRA Honorary Professor David Mackey AO, has spent more than 35 years working with over 100 families. It includes CIRA's Lisa Kearns, Dr. Staffieri, and Dr. Lopez-Sanchez. Their deep partnership, involving more than 350 people, led to their nomination for the Patients Australia Outstanding Patient Research Award for improving diagnosis, counselling and treatment. I first encountered a young man who had lost vision from LHON when I was a medical student in Hobart, says Professor Mackey. His story stuck with me, so 8 years later I chose to research the genetics and epidemiology of LHON in Australia as my doctorate thesis with the University of Melbourne. Family values. Families play an active role in raising awareness and advocating for research, while researchers support them with accurate, contextual information, especially vital in an era where online searches often present confusing or alarming claims. Recent Australian-led research has helped reshape the global understanding of LHON. For decades, it was widely believed that half of all men and 10% of women with an LHON genetic change would lose vision. Our seminal work showed the actual risk is much lower, 1 in 6 for men and 1 in 20 for women, Dr. Lopez-Sanchez says. The discovery has changed our understanding of LHON and how families are counselled worldwide, reducing fear and providing clarity. In 2025, the team published 2 papers emphasising how important accurate genetic counselling can be for families affected by LHON. Their work also aimed to raise awareness of LHON among health professionals and to challenge misconceptions, as the condition can sometimes be mistaken for other eye diseases. A significant new development is mitochondrial donation, an emerging reproductive technology which can help women with mitochondrial disease have genetically related children with a far lower chance of passing on the condition. This technology offers new opportunities for families, and genetic counselling helps them explore their options and feel supported in making family planning decisions that are right for them, Ms. Kearns says. The LHON research team is working closely with Australia's Mito Hope pilot program, which will begin recruiting participants in late 2026. The picture caption reads, "Greater support." Dr. Sandra Staffieri, AO, Lisa Kearns, and Dr. Isabel Lopez-Sanchez.
Reinventing treatment delivery. The eye may be one of the most accessible organs in the body, but getting medicine to where it's needed remains one of medical science's toughest challenges. A team led by Professor Gay-Shun Rick Liu is working to change that, developing delivery systems that could transform how a wide range of eye diseases are treated. In 2025, Professor Liu's genetic engineering research unit became the first to use a tiny particle extracted from blood to deliver medicine directly into a preclinical model of the cornea. This could pave the way for faster, more effective treatment of corneal injuries. Corneal injuries, whether caused by trauma, chemical exposure, or burns, require immediate treatment to preserve vision and reduce scarring. Anti-inflammatory drugs delivered via eye drop are a critical first step, but are far from ideal. When you use an eye drop, less than 5% of the medicine actually stays in the eye. The rest runs out. So it's not as effective as it could be, Professor Liu says. To improve this, his team looked at platelets, cells in the blood that clump together to heal cuts and prevent bleeding. When healing wounds, platelets release platelet-derived extracellular vesicles, PEVs, tiny particles that help with this process. Professor Liu and his team took these PEVs and loaded them with an anti-inflammatory drug, successfully using them to reduce inflammation. They are very small particles that are easily absorbed into the cornea. They naturally occur in the body, so won't trigger the immune system, and because they come from blood, they are very easy to source, Professor Liu says. We also found that platelet-derived extracellular vesicles also help reduce inflammation and promote tissue repair a little, just on their own, so they are beneficial in many ways. While corneal injuries are a start, the team's future research will look at more treatments that could potentially be delivered. Next generation. This research is alongside Professor Liu's team's ongoing work to develop a host of ways to deliver new treatments to the eye. This includes a method of replacing regular eye injections for wet, age-related macular degeneration with an eye drop. His team is also continuing to develop a method of editing RNA, the chemical in the body that ferries instructions from DNA to cells. This has the potential to treat inherited retinal diseases caused by faults in larger genes, like Usher syndrome, that would otherwise be too large for typical gene delivery. Finding treatments and cures for inherited retinal diseases, like Usher syndrome, caused by large-sized gene defects, is urgent and at the forefront of our advancement in the field of research, says Professor Liu. With over 300 genes known to be associated with inherited retinal diseases, affecting over 2 million people worldwide, customized gene editing that achieves safe and effective treatment to prevent vision loss is our priority. The picture caption reads, "Urgent Delivery. Professor Gay Shun Rick Liu is finding better ways to deliver drugs and genes through the eye." Living Legacy to Eye Research. Peter and Joe Manger have valued community service and always look to how they can make a meaningful difference in people's lives. They are now seeing the impact of their legacy after generously transferring a bequest in their will to a living gift to Sierra. The pair came from modest homes, with Peter being the first in his family to go to university and Joe qualifying as an occupational therapist. As well as being a stay-at-home mother raising their four children, Joe helped with Meals on Wheels and was an audio reader for the news at Vision Australia for 20 years. "I became a consulting engineer, then a director for 21 years and a managing director of a large company for 6 years," says Peter. He was the project coordinator for the construction of the MCG's light towers and the Great Southern Stand, an ocean yachtsman and a Rotarian. As a member of the Rotary Club, Peter volunteered to build a roofing factory in Timor-Leste. "We also became the largest supplier of water tanks and manufactured several thousand 200-litre tanks to hold grain and prevent losses by vermin. Many of these tanks were gifted to the community," says Peter. The Manger's giving resulted in the opening of the Manger Laser Room at Cerulea Clinical Trials, which houses two sophisticated lasers used in trials supporting new treatments for age-related macular degeneration, AMD, and choroidal melanoma. The retinal rejuvenation therapy laser, specifically designed to treat people with AMD, is a unique piece of equipment made by Australian-owned laser manufacturing company Nova Eye in South Australia. Currently, AMD is the most common cause of vision loss among older people, affecting 1 in 7 people over 50. While methods are available for treating the later stages of the disease to slow vision loss, there is not yet a way to slow progression from the early stages to these late vision-threatening stages of AMD. The laser was designed specifically to address this need, with trials delivering a very short and targeted pulse of energy, which stimulates an important layer in the retina responsible for keeping photoreceptors alive, the cells required to see. After first making a bequest in their will to Sira, Peter and Joe then realized that it would be much more satisfying to be able to talk to the recipients and understand the range of projects which need funding. Joe had poor eyesight from the age of 10. With cataract surgery in 2021, Joe's eyesight dramatically improved with 20/20 vision in her right eye, and she was able to discard her glasses. But her left eye had AMD, and she needs regular injections, says Peter. It was when we met Sira's impressive head of macular research, Professor Robin Geimer, AM, and understood her important research that we believed our donation to Sira would be well utilized. Peter and Joe decided to donate now instead of leaving their money to Sira in their will, as they can witness their implementation and see the benefits. We also receive tax benefits, which enables us to give more, says Peter. After raising four children, Joe and I had enough assets to consider bequests in our wills, and we both strongly believed that those who can do so have a duty to be philanthropic. The picture caption reads, Bright Legacy. Peter and Joe Manger see their donations come to life through Sira's laser eye treatments and research rooms.
Lead researchers, Associate Professor Luis Alacon Martinez, Visual Neurovascular Research, BSc, MSc, PhD. Associate Professor Penny Allen, Bionic Eye Project, MBBS, Fransco. Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, Retinal Gene Therapy and Venture Study, Bachelor of Optometry, PhD, FAAO, FACO, GCOT. Professor Michael Coote, Surgical Glaucoma Research, MBBS, MS, Fransco, FRACS. Professor Mark Daniel, Corneal Research, MBBS, MS, Fransco, FRACS. Dr. Thomas Edwards, Retinal Gene Therapy Research, MBBS, PhD, Fransco. Dr. Jennifer Fan Gaskin, Ocular Fibrosis Research, MBCHB, MD, Fransco. Professor Robin Geimer, AM, Macular Research, MBBS, PhD, Fransco, FAHMS. Dr. Xavier Hadou, Ophthalmic Neuroscience, Bachelor of Science, Master of Engineering, PhD. Professor Alex Hewitt, Clinical Genetics, Bachelor of Medical Science, Honours, MBBS, PhD. Associate Professor Jujin Kong, Oculoplastic and Thyroid Eye Disease Research, PhD, Master of Medicine, MBBS, Honours, Fransco, FANZ, SOPS. Professor Lyndall Lim, Uveitis and Retinal Vascular Disease Research, Chief Medical Officer, Cerulea Clinical Trials, MBBS, Doctor of Medical Science, Fransco. Professor Geishun Rick Liu, Genetic Engineering Research, Bachelor of Medical Science, PhD. Dr. Isabel Lopez Sanchez, Mitochondrial Biology and Disease, Bachelor of Science, PhD. Professor Keith Martin, Glaucoma Research, MA, BM, Bachelor of Chemistry, DM, MRCP, FRC Ophthalmologists, Fransco, FARVO, ALCM. Dr. Rod O'Day, Ocular Oncology, Honorary, MBBS, LLB, Bachelor of Science, Fransco. Associate Professor Ian Trance, Mitochondria and Neurodegeneration, Bachelor of Science, PhD. Dr. Anna Wang, Visual Neuroscience, Bachelor of Science, Advanced, Honours, PhD. Professor Raymond Wong, Cellular Reprogramming, Bachelor of Biomedical Science, Honours, PhD. Associate Professor Zichao Wu, Clinical Biomarkers, Bachelor of Applied Science, Optometry, PhD, FAAO. Associate Professor Lisa Zhouting Zhu, Ophthalmic Epidemiology, MD, PhD. For more details about our researchers, visit cira.org.au.
Our board. We extend the deepest appreciation to our board members who give their time and expertise to provide strategic direction and governance to CIRA. Duncan Peppercorn, Chair, MA, Honours. Simon Bruin, the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital Representative, Bachelor of Business, Graduate Diploma, HSM, MBL, GAICD. Professor Peter Chung, AO, University of Melbourne Representative, MBBS, MD FRACS, Fellow of the Australian Orthopaedic Association, FAAHMS, MAICD. Professor Andrew Cuthbertson, AO, Bachelor of Medical Science, MBBS, PhD, FAA, FTSE, FAHMS. Ebru Davidson, from September 2025, Bachelor of Science, JD, Honours, AGAI, GAICD. Suwani Dharmalingam, Bachelor of Commerce, Accounting and Finance, LLB, UNSW, Graduate Diploma, Financial Planning. Professor Darren Kelly, Bachelor of Applied Science, Medical Lab Science, PhD, FASN. Nuala Kilgallen, Bachelor of Commerce, Honours, FCA. Professor Keith Martin, MA, BM, Bachelor of Chemistry, DM, MRCP, FRC Ophthalmologists, Fransco, Farvo, FAAPPO, ALCM. Wendy Miller, until August 2025. Bachelor of Arts, LLB, Honours. Dr. Serge Scrofani, Bachelor of Science, Honours, PhD, MBA, MAICD. Alternate Directors. Professor Robin Geimer, AM, MBBS, PhD, Fransco, FAHMS, for Professor Keith Martin from August 2024. Professor Jenny Wilkinson Burker, Bachelor of Science, Honours, PhD, for Professor Peter Chung. Dr. Susan Cedrinus, MBBS, FRACMA, MPH, MHSM, GAICD, for Simon Bruin.
CIRA Executive Team. Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, Deputy Director, Head of the Vision Optimization Unit, University of Melbourne, Associate Dean, Innovation and Enterprise, MDHS, University of Melbourne, Bachelor of Optometry, PhD, FAAO, FACO, GAICD. Leah Borsboom, Co-Chief Operating Officer and Company Secretary, LLB Honours, GAICD. Tina Cheng, Co-Chief Operating Officer, LLB, Bachelor of Science. Fiona George, Executive Manager, Finance, Bachelor of Business, Accounting, CPA, GAICD. Professor Robin Geimer, AM, Deputy Director, Head of Macular Research, Professor of Surgery, Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MBBS, PhD, Fransco, FAHMS. Professor Lyndall Lim, until October 2025, Head of Clinical Trials Research, Principal Research Fellow, Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MBBS, Doctor of Medical Science, Fransco. Professor Keith Martin, CIRA Managing Director, Head of Glaucoma Research. Ringland Anderson, Professor of Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MA, BM, Bachelor of Chemistry, DM, MRCP, FRC Ophthalmology, Fransco, FARVO, ALCM. Rowan Nielsen, until December 2025, Executive Manager, Commercialization and Legal, Bachelor of Science, LLB, Honours. Janine Sim-Jones, Executive Manager, Communications, Fundraising and Advocacy, Bachelor of Arts, Journalism, Graduate Diploma, PR, GAICD.
Abridged Financials. Consolidated Statement of Financial Position, as at the 31st of December 2025. Table. Assets. Current assets. Cash and cash equivalents. 2025. $1,154,000. 2024. $509,000. Trade and other receivables. 2025. $2,660,000. 2024. $3,844,000. Other assets. 2025, $367,000. 2024, $458,000. Total current assets. 2025, $4,181,000. 2024, $4,811,000. Non-current assets. Financial assets. 2025, $26,580,000. 2024, $27,989,000. Property, plant and equipment. 2025, $13,080,000. 2024, $13,454,000. Right of use assets. 2025, $13,453,000. 2024, $13,302,000. Total non-current assets. 2025, $53,113,000. 2024, $54,745,000. Total assets. 2025, $57,294,000. 2024, $59,556,000. Liabilities. Current liabilities. Trade and other payables. 2025, $2,691,000. 2024, $3,529,000. Employee benefits. 2025, $2,549,000. 2024, $2,285,000. Lease liability. 2025, $1,376,000. 2024, $1,119,000. Total current liabilities. 2025, $6,616,000. 2024, $6,933,000. Non-current liabilities. Lease liability. 2025, $13,498,000. 2024, $13,137,000. Borrowings. 2025, $11,079,000. 2024, $10,495,000. Employee benefits. 2025, $250,000. 2024, $272,000. Total non-current liabilities. 2025, $24,827,000. 2024, $23,904,000. Total liabilities. 2025, $31,443,000. 2024, $30,837,000. Net assets, 2025, $25,851,000. 2024, $28,719,000. Equity. Reserves, 2025, $14,662,000. 2024, $21,791,000. Retained earnings, 2025, $11,189,000. 2024, $6,928,000. Total equity, 2025, $25,851,000. 2024, $28,719,000. End table. Consolidated Statement of Profit or Loss and Other Comprehensive Income for the year ended 31st of December 2025. Table. Revenue. Federal and State Government Grants. 2025. $3,016,000. 2024. $5,050,000. Clinical Trials and Contract Research. 2025. $9,499,000. 2024. $8,224,000. Donations and Bequests. 2025. $4,074,000. 2024. $4,181,000. Philanthropic and Other Grants. 2025. $3,335,000. 2024. $3,745,000. Investment and Other Income. 2025. $3,047,000. 2024. $4,002,000. Total Revenue. 2025. $22,971,000. 2024. $25,202,000. Expenses. Research Expenses. 2025. -$12,394,000. 2024. -$13,803,000. Research Support Expenses. 2025. -$8,117,000. 2024. -$7,923,000. Occupancy Expenses. 2025. -$624,000. 2024. -$508,000. Depreciation. 2025. -$3,131,000. 2024. -$2,726,000. Finance expenses. 2025. -$1,573,000. 2024. -$1,625,000. Total expenses. 2025. -$25,839,000. 2024. -$26,585,000. Net surplus or deficit. 2025. -$2,868,000. 2024. -$1,383,000. End table. Income sources 2025. 41% clinical trials and contract research. 13% federal and state government grants. 18% donations and bequests. 15% philanthropic and other grants. 13% investment and other income. Expenses 2025. 48% research expenses. 31% research support expenses. 12% depreciation. 6% finance expenses. 1% occupancy expenses. These abridged audited financial statements have been extracted from the full audited financial statements for CIRA and its controlled entities. The full audited financial statements can be extracted from the ACNC, Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission, website. CIRA operates as a not-for-profit organisation. Accordingly, accumulated surpluses are held as reserves to support future research projects and operations. Consecutive annual deficits reflect a period of strategic growth, including investment in our not-for-profit clinical trials company, alongside a challenging funding environment for medical research. The group is actively managing these pressures with a clear pathway to return to surplus by 2027.
Supporters and acknowledgements. The following generous people and organisations have supported CIRA to work towards a world free from vision loss and blindness. We are grateful for the many generous contributions to our research made by individual donors, along with the support of philanthropic trusts and foundations, industry, government, and our member organisations. Major gifts, $10,000 plus. Dorothy Bayliss. Petto Bros, Proprietary Limited. Renata Daniel. Ronald Dennis. Alexandra and Fred Grimwade. Peter Lemon. Cheryl Muir. Fairley and Dennis Nassau. Sally and Justin O'Day. Jane and Julian Raitt, OAM. We also pay tribute to donors who wish for their contributions to remain anonymous. Trusts and foundations, $10,000 plus. The A&E Finkel Foundation Trust. Australian Vision Research. The Angio Family Foundation. APS Foundation. Betty Brenda Spinks Charitable Trust. Bright Focus Foundation. The Cass Foundation. Cuthbertson Family Fund. The Danny Wallace Philanthropic Foundation. DHB Foundation. EQT Foundation. The Felton Bequest. The Glaucoma Foundation. Grass Foundation. The Harold Mitchell Foundation. H&L Hecht Trust. HCF Research Foundation. The Jack Brockoff Foundation. Lions 201v3 Ride for Sight. Macular Disease Foundation Australia. Marjorie M. Kingston Charitable Trust. Michelmore Foundation. The Miller Foundation. The Peggy and Leslie Cranburn Foundation. Retina Australia. Ruth Marie Sampson Foundation. Victorian Lions Foundation Incorporated. Bequests, $10,000 plus. Estate of Mavis Mary Ford. Estate of Otto Kern, to honour the members of the Otto Kern family who perished in the Holocaust in 1944. Estate of Harold Raymond Muir. Estate of Joan Palmer. Estate of Marjorie Roberts. Estate of Edith Taylor. Corporate supporters: Bayer Australia Limited, Oculus Biomed Limited, Novartis Pharmaceuticals Australia, Roche. Endowments. We gratefully acknowledge the support of the University of Melbourne in the ongoing management and direction of the following endowed funds to support our research. Alfred Noel Kerfey Fund. Dorothy Adele Eddowes Research Fund, managed by Perpetual Limited. Floris J. and H. Dallas Wiseman Charitable Trust. Hazel Jean Eastham Bequest. Louisa Jean de Bretteville Bequest. Maurice Cantlon Memorial Fund. Nancy Jean Bickard Bequest, managed by Perpetual Limited. Ringland Anderson, Chair of Ophthalmology Fund. Winfred Hallam Mons Bequest. Government. Breakthrough Victoria. Curator Plus Medical Research Future Fund. Medical Research Future Fund. National Health and Medical Research Council, Victorian Medical Research Accelerator Fund, Victorian Government Operational Infrastructure Support Fund. Members: Diabetes Victoria, Glaucoma Australia, Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Ophthalmologists, RANSCO, the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, University of Melbourne, Victorian Lions Foundation, Vision Australia. Partnerships and Associations: Aikenhead Centre for Medical Discovery, Association of Australian Medical Research Institutes, AMRI, Brandon Capital, International Agency for the Prevention of Blindness, Medical Research Commercialisation Fund, MedTech Actuator, MedicVision AI, Melbourne Academic Centre for Health, St Vincent's Hospital, Melbourne, Tin Alley Ventures, University of Melbourne Genesis Pre-Seed Fund, World Health Organisation, the Advanced Genomics Collaboration, TAGC. Honorary Governors: Peter Cleminger, AO, and the late Joan Cleminger, OAM, Andrew Fairley, AM, Professor John Funder, AC, the Honourable Dr. Barry Jones, AC, Charles Maychek, Tina McMecken, Andrew G. Michelmore, AO, Peter Nankerville, Margaret S. Ross, AM, Professor Hugh Taylor, AC, Professor Bob Williamson, AO.
How you can support us. Donate. With your support, we can continue our world-leading research and accomplish scientific breakthroughs previously deemed unattainable. Please visit donate.cera.org.au. Note, CERA is spelt C-E-R-A. Leave a bequest. Make a gift in your will and leave a lasting legacy. Please visit cera.org.au/gifts-in-wills. Partnership and funding opportunities. As true innovators, our scientists are on the brink of new discoveries every day. For a confidential discussion about how you can partner with our researchers to help them discover new ways to prevent vision loss, contact CERA on philanthropy@cera.org.au. Register for a clinical trial. Be part of clinical research by registering at ceruleaclinicaltrials.org.au/take-part-in-research/register-your-interest. Join our consumer program. Help shape the future of eye research by sharing your lived experience of eye conditions or vision loss. Please visit cera.org.au/consumer-program. Stay in touch. Receive our biannual supporter magazine, Visionary, and monthly e-newsletter, iNews. Please visit cera.org.au/subscribe. Connect with us. Facebook, cera.i. That's cera.eye. LinkedIn, Centre for Eye Research Australia. Creative, design by nature. Photography, copyright Anna Carlisle, Ben Jones, and Lachlan Douglas. The picture caption reads, Improving Treatment Deliveries. Esther Esso, Dr. Samudu Amara-Sekera, and Professor Gay Shun, Rick, Liu.
Back cover. Contact information. Centre for Eye Research, Australia. Telephone +613 9959 0000. Email cera@cera.org.au. Website cera.org.au. Note, CERA is spelt C-E-R-A. ABN 72076. 481984.
This production has been made possible by the Centre for Eye Research Australia in the interests of information accessibility. The recording was produced by Vision Australia. Website www.visionaustralia.org. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error or omission. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted. Your narrators were Jenny Seedsman and Angus Spence. This concludes the recording.